So my decode is complete. I'm pretty sure it's complete now. Everything's finished. So 2025 is the new year. I guess it's time to write a book. And not sure how to format it. Probably needs to be like written in a love story format and throw the code in there in between, because people don't like the code because they don't believe in the code. And I didn't either, so I don't blame them. I didn't either. But what I saw in a parallel, you always see in all the movies, even in the Bible, the love story, Adam and Eve. Adam loved Eve. Eve was the first witch. You saw all these love stories from Genesis to Revelation, Christ and his church. You saw Apostle Paul and the church. He said he was willing to spend and be spent for the church and all that. And so, growing up, you know, the son, you know, is trying to do good to impress their grandmother and their mother and their sister, and because they love their family. Then they get married and they love their wife, and they're sacrificing for the wife, they think, but the wife don't really appreciate it. That one messed me. I figured out how to solve all marital issues, by the way. It's really easy. When the man comes home after working all, yeah, I almost died. I fell off a ladder and about died. But I love my family, so I'm going back tomorrow and keep sacrificing for my family. I'm not saying he should lie or anything, but it should be a love story. I'm sacrificing for you. I'm working overtime so you can have this. Or if you create that drama and show the sacrificial love story monthly, weekly, whatever, every 3 months or whatever, it keeps that love story. It's all about the love story of Christ and the church, right? There's always that enemy. There's always the gang stalkers. There's always the Illuminati coming after you. There's always the Democrats chasing the Republicans. There's always the lies encroaching upon the truth, you know? So it's almost fitting that I'm done with the decode, because I came to a conclusion on the decode. It's all progressive revelation. It's already here. Everything's happening now. It's just not culminated yet. So the love story is pretty much finished. And I don't think it's a coincidence that a 10-year love story ended in the 3D at the same time my decode is finished and wanting to give the information out to the church, you know. Hosea and Gomer, that was a love story that God was showing to Israel. And notice Gomer just passed off the scene. You never heard from her again, you know. She kept rejecting Hosea's love, and then she passed off the scene, you know. And so there's always, I really believe this, the men who are motivated there's a love story deep down that keeps them going, you know. You have a family love story, you want to rise up and help your family. Then you have a marriage love story, you want to rise up and help your wife or your kids. If that don't work, you find somebody, there's another love story. If that don't work, you get somebody online who's a catfish, and that love story lasts for a while. So then you find out it was all fake. And you find out after a while, all these love stories. And I think what enlightened me to this talk right here is I watched that show, that movie called The Great Gatsby. And that guy was motivated for 5 years. It was a love story. 5 years to rise up, to attain that love, you know, to impress that woman he loved, you know. And you see it in all the movies. You see it everywhere. The man's trying to rise up to impress somebody. The man's willing to sacrifice. And the woman loves the love stories, right? That's why they read the romance books and all that. It's what they live for. And so if the man, if if you're young, don't be surprised when love story dies. When it goes into monotonous routine, don't be surprised if you have trouble, because don't be surprised if the woman does something crazy to create that love story, to get the chase back and forth. This is why the trauma bond works so much, because it's back and forth chase, you know. And it might be the woman sacrifice for the man. It just depends on the situation, you know. I noticed patterns in the hive, in the matrix. I had a tailgater, and I pulled off the side of the road to record. Then I pull in this circle driveway, and somebody pulls right behind me. It's like these people follow. They don't even know what they're following. They follow. They don't even know what they're following. So if there's a love story of any kind, the woman's going to follow it, even if it ain't truth. But what motivated me to do this decode to the church, and the church don't even appreciate it. That's the sad part, because it's too deep for the church. So you see somebody that needs to be saved, and it's like a love story. Well, if I rightly divide the word of truth and get that out, then I'll do the decode, and no matter what. But I started out, I wanted to know the truth, but then you see other people struggling to see the truth, so it turns into a love story. And then you transmute it into the body of Christ, and the body of Christ don't even appreciate the code. And so nobody appreciates the code, but I'm done with the code, and it will set you free. And the sad part is, it will set you free more than you've ever seen. Now, all you need is the scripture, yes. All you have to do is read Galatians. Just read Galatians. I've got this stupid air pressure thing. Your air pressure is 28 pounds on your tire. Okay. All right, I saw it once. Don't keep bringing it back up. I'm tired of seeing it. Anyway, back to what I was talking about. You see in the Bible, the book of Hosea and Gomer, there's always a love story in the 3D that parallels a 5D message to the church, or to the Israel, or to whosoever will. Because you have to see that God loves his creation, and it has to play out everywhere. So if a love story comes to an end in your real world, in your 3D experience, don't be surprised if you didn't just complete a long drawn out task that was there, and it was only motivated by love. You can't endure something for 10 years unless it's based on love. You can't endure something for 10 years unless it's based on love. I don't care if it's a monk out somewhere. I don't care if it's a stoic. I don't care what it is. There has to be some kind of love motivation there. And a real stoic is going to try to pass on the information to other people. And so the love for humanity is another thing that would motivate you, because you know the devil's a liar. The devil's a liar, and he's trying to take people to hell. Love for humanity. Love for a wife or a family or a kid or a Delilah or even a Jezebel. I mean, think about it. Adam loved Eve, and she turned into a witch. Elijah probably loved Jezebel. I hate to tell you this, because God loves the fallen mankind is pretty much in sorcery and witchcraft before they get saved. They're trying to do it in their own strength and using. God came down into earth, went to the cross for mankind, and mankind had fell into sorcery and witchcraft. I mean, what do you think the Freemasons and the Jesuits and all of them are? Sorcery and witchcraft. And God sent his son to die for mankind. It's always a love story. There's always a love. What motivates you? What motivates you? If it's not a love story, what is it? What is it? Has to be a love story. There's nothing else to motivate you. So if you look at Scripture, if you look at Scripture, you'll see the parallel. You have to see it. What's happening in the spirit, in the spiritual realm, has to play out in the natural. And if a love story in the natural comes to an end, then there's a spiritual journey that comes to an end. Hopefully this ain't the end of my life, but if it is, I accomplished my lifelong goal, because I just want to know the truth. And when I saw the esoteric demonic liars, I wanted to break that code so everybody wouldn't be confused, because I remember everybody saying 666 is everywhere. Oh no, it's the end of the world. Well, actually 666, they say it's the devil's number, but it's really man's number. From your fingertip to your elbow is 6 plus 6 plus 6, 18 inches. It's called a cubit. And the cubit is a cube. And I posted on my community channel, The Cube. Go watch that movie. It's on my community channel. Thank God NBC allowed it to be shown back on YouTube. But NBC blocked it for a long time. But it reveals what you're in. And The Cube, it's called The Cube by Jim Henson. And what is The Cube? It's the flesh mind. So you're blind until you get born again, receive the Holy Spirit, and see past this place. You're in the flesh mind. And everything inside The Cube is the flesh mind. The systems, the governments, the churches, the buildings, the families, most everything that you see is in the flesh mind, because it's in the natural. It's the energy of the flesh. And I promise you that when you start to disconnect from different cubes, you start to wake up, because you're so preoccupied and so busy. This is why a stoic or a guru or a monk, they start to see past this place. And if you just cut off the noise for 6 months, if you could just do it for 6 months, and I know most people can't even cut their music off for 5 minutes. And they go home and the TV's running. And it's like, no wonder you can't see it. It's right here. And God told me, he was mad when he said it. I asked him the second time. He was kind of upset with him. Not mad, but he was like frustrated that I had to ask again. I should have listened the first time. He said, it is right in front of you, with a stronger voice. And I said, okay, Lord. Well, let me just keep trying. And I just couldn't get it. And that's when the Shekinah glory showed up. And the Shekinah glory means divine presence. So no matter where I go, I see the same truth. The Bible's right in front of you. You're in the Bible. It's in front of you. You're in it. It's in you. You're actually a book. You have a spine, a left side and a right side. And every day you turn the page to the new chapter, the new page, the new whatever you want to call it. New topic, new chapter, new paragraph, new sentence. And you're in a sentence. Your flesh is going to the grave. It's a death sentence. You're in a death cult. Your body will go to the grave unless the rapture takes place. And so once the love story came to an end, the decode came to an end. It is finished. It's finished. So now I need a new vision. I need a new vision. And I think the only vision I can come up with is stay healthy. Maybe write a little small PDF book or something. The code is so deep, it would take forever, but it's so simple at the same time. It really could be one page now that I've decoded it. And so I'm really not motivated to talk about it anymore. Just tell you that your sin stinks to thy heaven, and Jesus alone saves, and it's faith alone, not of works, lest any man should boast. I have nothing else to say than that. There's nothing, it's all playing out in front of you. Going down the highway, there's a one-way sign. Hello? It's all happening now. The gospel's right in front of you. It's in the Bible. It's encoded in your body, your fingernails. Look at your fingernails. What's that thing? That's what that little round thing right there near your skin. It's called the lunula. Lunar moon mints blood. So there's the blood, the nail print. You got a fingerprint, right, on the other side. You got your fingernails. So you got the nails, you got the fingerprint, and you got the blood. The nail, so the preaching of the cross is on your fingernail and your thumbprint, and the lunula on your hand. The blood of his cross, the red, black, white, and red is being preached 24/7, 7 days a week, all the time. As you get on the highway, you see the black and white, the black top and the white lines, and you say, where's the blood? You see all the cars flowing, the blood has to flow. I'm looking to the right, there's a sign that says Queen City. To the left, it says Wendy sign. It has a little M-O-M under the picture of the Wendy's. Exit sign. Exit. It follows. How do you exit? How do you exit? It follows. E-X. I-T. So when you exit by faith, then you become a T-I. Take the I-T and you become a targeted individual after you exit the exit ramp. You saw Hosea's wife, Gomer, disappear after she left back and forth two or three times, had some kids, and he named them, these are not my kids, or something like that. And then after about the third time, probably third or fourth time, he kept buying her out of slavery, and then she finally was gone. He said, okay, bye, it's over. So you didn't really hear about that love story anymore. What else? There was other love stories in the Bible. Samson, Delilah. After Samson tricked him, but he still overcame and destroyed, killed more Philistines when his death than he did in his life. Maybe I'll just do an AI search on all the love stories in the Bible, you know. And so you notice Moses, who was it? Moses, let my people go. And he smote the rock twice, destroyed the type and shadow of Christ smitten once, and he didn't get to enter the promised land. So when that love story ended, who was it? Joshua, who took over the next after him. And they went into victory. So that when the love story ends, there's a shift in the natural. It's always a shift. I promise you, there's no time, there's no space. In the 3D, all you're doing is experiencing distance and time to birth you in to the new state. It's easy to see it in time because time is cycles. I got somebody else tailgating me. But in the space going from A to B, and there's space in between, think about it this way. So A is a post, you're stationary, and you start to travel to post B. And so that moving from post A to post B is a journey. And you get to post B and you rest. So what you learn on that journey from post A to post B should be an internal experience, not just external. So everything you're doing in the 3D, external, should be teaching you a lesson in the internal. And so when the love story comes to an end, it has to parallel something in the spiritual. And it's like a death, but it's also like Moses and Joshua, if that was the guy that I think it is. But there's a transition. There's a new calling or new vision or a rest, or your journey's over and you're just going to chill and sit back and observe. But it's hard to be an observer when you've been a participant for so long. And so there has to be another love story that kicks in somewhere along the way. Yeah, I don't see any other reason to be here. You either love the church and you want to get people saved, you love humanity, or you love a spouse, or you love your kids, or you love your family, or you love your job, or you love your business you're building. There's got to be, only thing that's worth anything is a motivation of love is all that's worth. There's no other motivation. And it should be based on truth. Real love is based on truth, not based on lies. So the love of souls. Maybe the next thing to do is go down here to the colleges and just stand right there in the middle of the college and hand out tracts and watch them spit on you and curse you and kick you and, you know, to decode this place and finish my decode, to be finished with it, that's a miracle. That's a miracle. If y'all only knew, I mean, I gave up everything to see the code. I mean, everything. Yeah, I had to work, and yeah, I was doing stuff, but I could have accomplished so much more. But though you gain the whole world compared to gaining the whole truth, what benefit is it, you know? The Bible says if a man gains the whole world but loses his own soul, what benefit? So by gaining the whole code and giving up the world, the flesh, the prior life, the 2.5 kids with a white picket fence. And notice the people who chase after that, they get older and they lose it. The very thing they were chasing, they end up losing. So I really came out ahead because my goal was the truth. And I attained it by the grace of God, by God's help. I could see the truth in everything that I look at. The concrete, the street, the telephone, the clouds, the rain, the signs. It's right here in front of me. Everywhere I look, Jesus is being preached. And so I gave up the world to gain everything. He says, set your affections above. But at the same time, there's always a three-dimensional love story going alongside of the five-dimensional journey. It has to be. That's my thesis. Maybe I'll write a book about that. Maybe that's my next book. I'll do a creation code book, and then I'll do the love story book. There has to be the love story all the time. It has to be. I notice that in life. I notice that. You say, I'm just going to be by myself. I'm just going to hang out and just be by myself. I had somebody else just tailgating me going into the gas station. What is wrong with people? Why are they in such a hurry? Why are they in such a hurry? They're already there. I don't think you get what I'm telling you. Wherever you are, you're here. Where? Here. There? Here. Here? Here. H-E-R-E, re-he. So no matter where you're at, God is omnipotent, omnipresent. The truth is omnipotent, omnipresent. The Holy Spirit is omnipotent, omnipresent. So no matter where you go, you should be content. If the love story comes to an end, the spiritual journey comes to an end. Moses didn't enter the promised land. He died. The people mourn for 30 days, and then something else happened. So if something in your house, in your life, something in your life come to an end. Let's say some man and woman split up. The love story comes to an end. Whether it's he or she, it don't matter. This is a fractal. So the love story comes to an end. She's going to have a new vision. He's going to have a new vision. One of them's going to die, most likely. Because you can't have, something's got to die. And I'm not saying physically die, but something's got to die. But there has to be a renewal. Death, resurrection. Death, resurrection. I'm talking in archetypes right now. I'm speaking in a fractal archetype, multidimensional way. Spiritual, allegorically, metaphorically, it's all happening now. The archetypes. You can have an 8D shape, the steady state, in the eighth dimension, and it's not moving, but it can actually project into 3D, something that's moving, or it looks like it's moving. And so these archetypes from the higher dimensions have to play out in 3D because the archetype is the arch, the overarching pattern, which goes back to Christ and his church. And this is why you can read the mind of people, because you can read Revelation 2 and 3 and you know what's going on with people. You can tell by their words, by their body language, by their expressions. You can actually see it. Just like when you Google, just Google witch, right? Just Google, put in Google witch and hit the search button. What's going to come up? That lady who's green, her fingers are bent, her nose is bent, her body's bent. Because witchcraft is bent. It's crooked. And so they embody the lies of the devil. So when you embody the scripture, the truth, you love your neighbors, yourself, you love souls, you want to give out the truth, you want to see people escape the matrix, get saved, born again, escape the devil. And so you embody what you are spiritually. And that's why I'm saying, to have longevity, you don't just eat right and sleep right and drink and fast and all that. You have to be spiritually right and get your mind right. Because if your mind ain't right, you embody that. If you have a mindset of service, you embody that in 3D. So when one love story ends, you might go through some depression, or you might go through some sadness, or you might go through the feeling of loss or whatever. But there's always another love story. And if it's not for a person, it's for the body of Christ or for mankind or whatever, humanity. And so usually it's a big shift. Just like when you leave a narcissist, right? You escape and you learn about narcissism and you say, oh, that's why they're lying. They're gaslighting. That's why they're future faking. That's why it's fake. That's why it's a catfish, even in your own house. Oh. So you wake up to narcissism and you say, that person wasn't even real. You were in love with a fake person, a fake image that you projected onto that person, and they couldn't keep up with that fake projection, which is actually your fault. The red flags are there. You projected this fake reality onto that person. The reason they hate you, because you're in love with something that's not real. And so they're thinking, you don't love me. You're just love of a projection. You're just in love with a projection. So they want to kill you because they see you say, I'm love you. I love you. You don't even know me. That's what the narcissist is saying. And so the narcissist is saying, oh, you're trying to deceive me. You're evil. But the person who's projecting that really thinks that that person, that their love exists, but they don't exist. So my final thing to everybody is the Genesis 3 fake reality bubble. You projected love on somebody and all the red flags were there. The reason they hated you and lied to you and cheated on you and ran the streets or whatever, tried to kill you, poison you, whatever they tried to do, is because they were bitter, because they knew you didn't know them. If you really knew them, you wouldn't love them. You didn't really have unconditional love because you only loved a projection. It wasn't the real person. And when you wake up to that, the love story has to come to an end. And you have to realize that a lot of people in this reality are in delusion. And we all started in the Genesis 3 lie till we got saved. And then we escaped. Then you can go back and can forgive everybody that hurt you or lied to you or cheated or whatever they did, abandoned you or whatever. You can forgive them all. Because they probably saw the truth that you didn't see. You thought you loved them, but you didn't really love them. It was fake. And that's why they were mad at you, trying to kill you, because they thought you were trying to con them or something. And so they were probably struggling. I want to be what that person wants me to be, but I can't be that person because that's just not who I am. You see what I'm saying? Think about it. Replay it. You probably won't grasp it. You probably won't understand that until you listen to it two or three times. If you study narcissism a while. See, even if you study narcissism, you won't understand what I just said because you're still blaming the narcissist. It's not the narcissist's fault. It's your fault. You believed a fake reality, and it was the red flags were there the whole time, and you went into something that wasn't real. Period. Just like as a child, you grew up and you realize your parents were human. Remember when you thought your parents were perfect? Then you grow up and you say, oh, they have a different belief system than me. I don't even like what they believe. So your parents know that about your kids. They're in love with an image, a childlike image of a parent. Until they become a parent, until they know the struggles, they can't understand you. You can only understand what you are. And so if you're not a narcissist and you're projecting onto a narcissist righteousness and real love, and they know they're not, they're just demons and devils and witches and warlocks and evil, because the word witch goes back to pure evil. A witch is pure evil, full of evil. A narcissist is pure evil. A psychopath is pure evil. So you're sitting there. So this man's in love with this psychopathic woman, right? And she knows she's a psychopath. He's saying, I love you, I love you. Let's do this. And she's sitting there looking like, I'm going to kill you, but you're in love with me. You don't even know who I am. So because the psychopath has no really emotions, so they just pretend. And so they hate you more because you're projecting an image onto them that they can't be. You hear what I'm saying? This is deep. It's crazy. It's insanity. When you wake up to the fake reality bubbles that we've all had growing up, and you understand, no wonder the narcissist wants to take you out, because they know that you were projecting an image that they can't be. It all makes sense, people. You just need to laugh about it and say, oh, you just tell yourself to wake up. Just wake up. Not everybody's got a good heart. And the only reason you got a good heart is because you got saved. Does the heart's deceitfully wicked? This is my whole point. Does heart's deceitfully wicked? Who can know it? So when you started out as a child, and no preachers talked about narcissism, I don't even hear them talking about it now. The only people talking about narcissism are people online. Why ain't the preachers talking about it in the pulpit? Because the preacher might be a narcissist. That might be why. This is huge. Why aren't the corporations teaching it in their training program? Why aren't the universities teaching it? Why isn't the government teaching it? Because they're all narcissists. And they don't want you to know about it. And they're just laughing at you. That's why they use and abuse you. Because you're believing a fake reality about this place. It's a narcissistic death cult is what you're in. And they're laughing at you. And you think it's heaven on earth. The devil's laughing at you. And God's trying to wake you up. Maybe that's what I'll shift over to, just teaching about narcissism. I don't know. There's too much teaching online. If you haven't figured it out after watching about 50 videos, you'll never figure it out. But it's really not about the narcissist, it's about your own heart.